Hello, this is Catherine Pearson. I'm here with Linus Pardo, and we are talking to Newton Faulkner. Hello.
Hello there. How are you doing? You all right?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm very well indeed.
You feeling fired up, ready for tonight's
gig? Yeah, I had a day off yesterday, so that was... Yeah, because we did four in a row. It's kind of... Four's the most I like to do in a row.
Yeah.
Before having a day off, and then you kind of rethink things.
What did you do with your day off?
Not a lot. What did I do?
Lions are the best. That's the best way to spend a day.
I'm not very good at Lions anymore. I used to be amazing. I used to have to be woken up for soundcheck.
Oh.
Was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So we are going to chat a bit about your new album, if we may.
Far enough.
Which is Human Love. And so you've released Get Free, which is your first big single from the album.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
which
not
is a cover.
Quite yet, is it?
Well, I don't know what the single is. I think the single is out. Yeah, there's the single, which is it's actually a cover of Major Lazer.
It is.
Which is quite fun.
I was doing a bit of comparison yesterday. I was listening to the Major Lazer.
I haven't actually A-B'd it yet.
I love it. And it also won't come out my head.
I'm just singing
it round and round.
Such a good melody.
It is, isn't it?
I love it to bits.
We should say, we're backstage at the Assembly in Leamington.
Yes.
And one of
the stranger backstages.
We're also sat in what can only be described as Dolly Parton's caravan.
Pretty much, yeah.
You have to see it to believe it. But yeah, let's chat about the new album. Can we expect to see a bit of a new direction from you for this new album?
Yeah, no, it's a new label. Yeah, just to rethink. Because I think before, I wasn't doing it purposefully, but I think I knew what they wanted and what they'd be happy to release. So I was kind of filtering my own ideas in terms of what I thought would have a better chance. And as soon as I was working with different people, I started sending everything. Mm. And there's stuff on this record that I wouldn't have sent off before. And it's stuff that people really like as well. So it's a really interesting time.
So when you were working out in the studio for this, when you were tracking in the studio and things, did this kind of have a completely different vibe to everything you've done before? Or were there some sort of similarities?
It was just much more open. I think before we kind of had... kind of set parameters which we felt we had to fit within, whereas this one there was nothing. I mean, to begin with, when we first started working on the album, we didn't have a label because I just got out of the contract, hadn't signed a new one yet, so there was no one I had to please, so I did whatever I wanted. And then also we had like themed weeks, we wrote completely different styles just as a challenge, just to see what came out of
it, to try it out.
There was like rock week.
Awesome.
We had no guitars and just synths for a whole week. It was great fun.
It does sound really different to the other things you've released,
to be honest.
From Human Love and Get Free, which is what we've heard so far.
Yeah, it's got a much kind of wider...
It does.
Part. And also, we wanted it to be pop, but we wanted it to be interesting.
Great. I want to talk a bit about the video for Get Free.
Okay.
Because I'm assuming this was your idea, because you fancied...
It was everyone's idea,
pretty
much, at the same time.
This is the video where you cut off your famous dreadlocks, the ones
quite
that you've been sporting throughout all of your other albums, and you've become kind of...
A large amount of hair was injured.
Was shed.
But no, I'm really pleased with... I think it had the desired effect. It does. And it was, like, I quite like doing things in... a kind of open and as honest way as you can. So, like, Studio Zoo was made completely on camera, the whole process. And I think that kind of rebranding thing, I didn't want to just appear with considerably less hair and, like, a whole different thing.
I kind of liked the idea of just
kind of easing people through it a bit.
Yeah.
And also, when I got there in the morning, I kind of got to where we were filming and kind of had a look and was like, whoa.
So we're doing this.
A chair
and then some scissors.
A massive light, a pair of scissors, just in the middle of like an aircraft hangar. It's a massive space.
It was a huge space by the looks of...
Yeah.
I'm assuming it was all terrifying. Done in one shot. Obviously, you've got to...
We did manage to get some other shots out of it.
Okay.
Kind of at
the
end.
Because there are moments with close-ups and things like that.
Yeah, we had to do... Yeah, because there was... But we did... Yeah, it was pretty much one shot. Because obviously Once you've cut the first one, you can't go back to the beginning again.
I love the cutting on the beat as well.
I'm so glad that was in time.
It was perfectly in time.
That would have been so embarrassing, because I'm supposed to be able to do that bit.
Yeah, you'd have to be like, well, I've just kind of got one bit that's shorter. Let's take this again. No, it was brilliant. It was really good. And I can imagine quite nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah.
Cut my
hair.
Utterly
terrifying.
Yeah.
Especially with... it was mainly for like the people watching. Because there were people the other side of like a big black curtain just sitting watching it on a monitor.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, no one spoke. No one kind of breathed for that whole first take. They were just like, oh, my God, he's doing it. He's doing it now.
Should we talk about some music? Should we do it? Okay, cool. So I want to just ask you a little bit about the writing process, and also your music has a sort of undertone, a very motivational undertone to a lot of it.
It does seem to. That's yeah.
How do you motivate yourself to keep coming out and producing new music all the time?
I don't really. It's not like a conscious effort. I don't have to like have a coffee and have a serious chat with myself in the mirror, being like, I'm "Gonna do some music today. Is that all right? You can handle it."
And
whereas, because I love it. I mean, there's a whole stage of writing this album where I'd get up. I'd go into the studio in my pajamas and I'd have done like most of a track before I had a coffee. It's my favourite way of working.
That's
incredible. There's this bit in the, I've found it's quite a few kind of weird creative people have kind of got into that bit in the morning when you first wake up, because it's like the filters haven't kicked in yet. Yeah.
So, and the one of the other things we wanted to chat to you about, we sat down for a few minutes just to think about what we could ask you, and we were both really, really intrigued by the Studio Zoo album.
Yeah, I mean,
and how that sort of came about, and you know, having the confidence to do something really quite different to everything else you've done, and just because that's almost entirely on your own, is that right?
Yeah, no, that's completely stripped back. That's the most stripped back thing I've ever done.
Was that a really sort of natural process that you just decided? Did you wake up one morning and just go, I want to do this entirely on my own? Rather than having a sort of bigger production sound to it, because the previous album, you know, Right on Your Skin,
has
got
big
album
that had stuff going on.
You know, that's an anthemic sort of set of.
Yeah, no, this one we kind of. I tend to react to whatever I've just done. So if I have loads of drums, I might. And also, it's, I think the kind of criticism that I was getting from like the hardcore fans that were there. I mean, there was a bunch of people that were there before the first album came out, just from the live stuff, because I had been playing relentlessly for quite a long time before that. So there were people that were annoyed that there were other things
that you wanted to do.
Oh no, there were other instruments on the first album. There was like, there's drums on it.
Why are there drums on it? No.
It's a bit Andy from Little Britain, that was.
So there's, yeah, I mean, obviously you can't please everyone all the time, but it kind of felt like, I felt like it was time.
Yeah.
To give those people the album that they wanted, which was just guitar and just vocal and completely stripped back. And it was a really interesting challenge for me, because I felt like I'd kind of plateaued a bit playing wise.
Okay.
And doing a whole album with just guitar really pushed me. I mean, it's by far the hardest album to play physically.
Yeah. Did you feel quite under pressure by the fact that it was your studio, your home studio, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That was the other thing, was I engineered the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which I've never done. So that was a massive learning curve. I'd done like odd tracks, but I'd never done a whole album.
And
also,
we did it
crazy fast.
Well, you'd have to. It was about 5 weeks.
Yeah, no one does an album in 5 weeks.
Not many sane people, no.
No, that was slightly tight, to say the very least. I mean,
it's a great album, but it must have been such hard work.
I mean, I love how, because there was so little time, it is. I mean, the writing process was really fast as well. I mean, it was basically written the 5 weeks before the cameras moved in.
Okay.
So it was a really brutally honest kind of documentation of that. And vocals, like doing vocals is intense. Like if you're writing about stuff that's actually happened and like kind of autobiographical and stuff about friends, you write about some stuff that's really hard to sing about. And I've cried in front of a lot of people now just via that process. Because you have to, I mean, there's a large bit of singing that is essentially acting. You're telling a story and you need to convey the emotions, and you have to really take yourself back to the place that you were when you were writing it. So
you find that album sort of a really liberating process. You can feel that in the album. It's such a raw and natural album.
It's so raw. I think it was actually too raw for some people. People were like, it sounds great. When are you going to finish it?
You've been around for quite a long time now in the music industry. How do you feel it's changed? And also, if you could give a little bit of advice, you know, as a student community, we have a terrible music scene, not only at Warwick, but also in Leamington. There is very little going on.
Okay.
It's becoming very difficult for young musicians. Both of us play music ourselves. What is a good bit of advice you give out to somebody who was really looking to push themselves out there into the music industry these days?
I think live is always it's the most tangible area where you can actually start building from.
Yeah.
And it's very much what I did in the beginning, is I gigged relentlessly. I've gigged relentlessly for nearly
ever?
10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much ever.
You haven't really stopped. Like the album releases, there's never really more than a 2-year gap before.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the live stuff is, because it's word of mouth. It's kind of stuff that you can't You can't, and it feeds all the social media stuff. But without the live stuff, the social media stuff doesn't do what it does, because you want to do a gig and you want people to talk about how the gig was.
Yeah, of course.
And if you want to
you
do
can't
that,
create hype from nothing.
From
to start
nothing,
with.
And I think it's definitely the most. It's the easiest starting point, and then.
And social media is only going to help that.
Social media works really well if you're. Yeah, if you're nailing that bit.
Yeah.
And then in terms of kind of everything else, so in terms of like radio and albums, like radio is essentially Russian roulette. You just have to cross your fingers and hope that the right people are in the right meetings at the right time. But it's quite out of your control.
Yeah.
So there's not a huge amount you can do towards that side of things. But the live bit, you have full control
it's
over.
Just
so
getting
that's
your
why
fans
I,
involved.
I think that's why I embrace it quite so much, because it's a bit like, hey, I do this and that happens. This is great.
Yeah. And Studio Z reflects that in a big way.
I mean, that was essentially a pretty much a live album. There was relatively little editing, mainly because I was self-conscious about editing while people were looking over my shoulder.
Sure, they're actually watching you changing things around in the live stream. It's like, what are you getting rid of?
Did you just tune yourself? No.
The percussive acoustic guitar thing.
Yes.
Okay. How did you kind of, was that a totally natural process? When you started writing songs, you just felt like you wanted to go down avenue?
No, I was doing that before I started writing songs.
Okay, so it just interlinked.
Yeah, I was playing guitar in a weird way, and I was kind of treating the two separately. So I was playing very strange guitar and writing very normal songs. And then I didn't mix the two because it just didn't seem like you almost could. Mm. I mean, partly because my brain couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
it was actually
impossibly difficult to do, we should say. For people out there who have never listened to Newton's music, you should try playing it. It's damn difficult. So there you go.
Yeah, it's technically demanding. And this album's as hard as any of the others. I think Studio Zoo still wins in terms of, because I was really trying to fill out, it was basically like,
you didn't have a band.
Yeah, it was like, I basically like covering myself. So like what I did with Teardrop, I was doing with tracks that had never been made. So I was kind of implying drum beats and synth parts and all kinds of stuff within the original guitar parts.
Doing a stripped back version of a song that hasn't been made yet.
Yeah, that's essentially what Studio Zoo is from start to finish.
Your award-winning student radio station.
This is Your Raw.
There we go, Newton Faulkner, backstage at the